And that resurrecting spirit, we're connected with it. It's a part of us. It sings not only through our choir and our musician, it sings in our hearts, it sings in our souls, and it wants to lift us up to a greater realization and a greater expression of those gifts of God. And it happens all the time. We see it all around us. I see it in our 5-year-old neighbor girl who climbs over our 5-foot fence to get into our backyard and play with our dogs. I found her the other day in the backyard, and I said, "What are you doing back here?" She said, "I'm playing with the dogs." I said, "How did you get over the fence?" She's about this tall, and the fence is this tall. She says, "My brother showed me how to do it." She has an older brother. And they would get up on the trash cans, their trash cans, and then reach across to the wall, and then onto our trash cans, and then get down. And so, and I thought about that. She had an older brother to show her how to do something. We have an older brother. We have an elder brother. We call him Jesus, who's shown us this pattern of overcoming, this pattern of resurrection that's available to us. And that same spirit that worked in him is ready to work in us in new and powerful ways as well. I always like it, one of the songs that we sing where it says, "Nothing is incurable, all things can be healed," because Tamara, every time we sing that song, Tamara goes, "Meh," because she's an example of that truth that, you know, she's overcome cancer. And she said, you know, it all can be healed. And so we have that knowingness when we see it or when we experience for ourselves the challenges in when we're facing something that we don't have experience with or we haven't seen somebody else go over it. But again, that same spirit can work in us as that blessing in our lives. So my invitation today for you is this: I dare to live as a child of God. As fully what that means, in the full demonstration of what that means in life, to live in that fullness. Our scripture points us in that direction. This is from the letter to the Ephesians. It's usually translated at the coming of the end of the age. And again, that's the way we usually think of things in life. We usually think about the endings. We usually think about the failures, the things that aren't working. That's usually what our attention is on. But this is calling us to see that there's a larger arc, there's a larger circle that we're a part of. At the coming of the climax of the ages, everything in heaven and on earth should be unified through Christ. In other words, there's this coming together in this experience of overcoming power. There's a coming together in a demonstration that we are greater than circumstance in our lives. And so that's the gift that we have. And it's important for us again to look at this word Christ that's here and remember that it's not just Jesus' last name. It's not his last name at all. Christ is the expression of an eternal presence that was with the creative process at the beginning, and it's present now, as large and as powerful as it's ever been. And the thing, what it means, it comes from the Greek word Christos, which means anointing. It's the anointing of spiritual power. It's the anointing of spiritual awareness that wants to work through us, that wants to give itself to us, to come alive in us in a whole new way, that wants us to not settle for less than living as full, powerful, capable children of God. That's what we're created to be in our life. So that's the gift. Many times we're asked this question. You've seen it at WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that's a good question to ask, but I think there's a better question that we can ask. And that's this: what is God inviting you to do? What is God inviting you to do? What is God wanting to express through you that you haven't been willing to do yet? After the first service, one lady came to me and she said she took this idea of, you know, going into prayer and seeing what God would have you to do, and God asked her to go visit a person that she doesn't really like to visit. But in saying, "All right, God gave me to do this," so she went to do that, and in doing that, she found the answer to one of the things that she'd been working on for her own health. Yeah, and she made a connection through something that's made all the difference in the world for her. And so we have to learn to trust that in our lives. So what is God inviting you to do? And then to live it. And so here's our affirmation for today. I am emboldened in the Christ demonstration. If we see that Jesus has done this, and he says, it's recorded in John 14:12, "The things that I do, you can do too, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." That was his pattern, going, making that connection with God. If we see that Christ demonstration, do we want to live it as well? So here's the affirmation. If you're ready to live it, say it with me. I am emboldened in the Christ demonstration. Let's say it again. I am emboldened in the Christ demonstration. So that Christ's presence is right wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And if we can just have that sense that we're living in it, we're standing in it, we're working from it, we're speaking from it, we're speaking from this place, living from this place, that we're a part of that Christ demonstration. That same Spirit is working in us. And be emboldened by it and live from it, live as it in your life. And so that key is then to see what are the elements of doing this in our life. So one step is this, to rise up with spiritual power. Again, there's this resurrection process going on. We might as well be a part of that. But what usually happens is that we live from something less than that because we've identified ourselves as something less than that. You know, in the newspaper, many times they'll publish the corrections. For, you know, they put something in there, made a misprint or something like that, and so they'll publish the correction. So here's one that was in a British newspaper, the Ely Standard. It said, "We apologize for the error in last week's paper in which we stated that Mr. Arnold Dogbody was a defective in the police force. We meant, of course, that Mr. Dogbody is a detective in the police farce." But not much better, right? And it's easy to look out at life and to see where people are failing, where people aren't succeeding, where things aren't working the way that people want, and forget that if we identify that, we keep recreating that. If we identify with the Christ demonstration, then we'll begin to be creating that in our lives as well. So we want to have this idea of rising up with spiritual power. And so it's important to look at how do we name ourselves? Do we name ourselves as something less than, as something that's a victim to circumstance? Or do we name ourselves as one with that overcoming power that can face any obstacle and rise above it? I will arise to name that. That's who I am. I'm lifted up in that consciousness because that's what it does. That's what the Spirit does. It anoints us and blesses us so that we can move through things in a greater way. There's a story in the Gospels, shows in a couple of them, where Jesus is walking along a place and there's a man lying down in bed who's been paralyzed for decades. And he's by this pool. And the story is that an angel will come down and stir up the water, and the first one who gets in the pool after that gets to be healed. And so Jesus walks by and he sees him and he asks the man, "Do you want to be healed?" And he says, "Well, yeah, I'd like to be, but anytime the water gets stirred up, somebody else gets in there first." And that was his story. Somebody else gets there first, you know. And don't we feel that way, that we sort of get the leftovers sometimes, you know, somebody else, you know, my sister got the good job or, you know, whatever it was. And to recognize that if that's the way that we name ourselves as less than that's what we're going to experience. But if we name ourselves as part of this resurrecting power, we'll be lifted up in a greater way. So it's how we see, what is the capacity that we see for ourselves? I've been preparing, I'm doing a 3-week class on Wednesdays on the teachings of Rumi as the way of love into a mystical experience of the presence and power of God. So I've been reading, and there's a wonderful little example he gives in here. It's called Measuring Out Sugar. He says, "Grocers put sugar in a bag. Their supply of sugar, however, is not limited to what's in the bag. When you come to the grocer, he has an abundant supply of sugar, but he sees how much money you have brought with you and measures out the sugar accordingly." And then he makes this statement, "Your money on the path of God is courage and faith, and you will be taught according to your courage and according to your faith. When you come looking for sugar, your bag will be examined to see how much it can hold. It will be filled accordingly." So let's dare to live as children of God. It'll be filled accordingly if that's what we decide, if that's the way we see ourselves, if that's what we live from. You've all heard about catch and release. It's not just about fishing. It's about working with thoughts. When Jesus talks about, you know, catching fish, he's talking about the ideas that we're working with. And so when we catch a thought of limitation, rather than say, "Oh no, I'm thinking that thought again. Gee, what's wrong with me? Can't I get myself, you know, be more positive?" Catch the thought and release it. When you catch yourself thinking in a limited way, when you catch yourself thinking of being less than, let it go. Say, "There's that thought again. It's not mine anymore. I'm done with that thought." So that then you can replace it with that sense of, I dare to live in a different way. I dare to live boldly. I dare to live as love. I dare to live as joy. And let that Spirit of God fill what you've given it with an idea in your mind. In American Sign Language, the sign for dare is, it's, you know, whatever you're holding, whatever you want, you know, just lay hold of it and be that strength, be that wisdom, be that joy in your life. So rise up with spiritual power and then step that up even from there. Step up that spiritual power to something greater. Again, there's another wonderful story. This is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 22. It starts there. A man is brought to Jesus who's blind to be healed. And Jesus does something that none of us probably would do. He spits on the man's eyes, which again, in our culture, that seems, you know, sort of weird. No, I wouldn't do that. So, you know, but you have to understand in cultures from the East that a holy man's spit is considered to have curative powers. And so he spits on the man's eyes and asks him, can you see? And the man opens his eyes and he says, well, I can sort of see, but the people I'm looking at look like trees. So in other words, still sort of fuzzy, wasn't looking like people. So what Jesus did, he puts his hands over his eyes and says, look up. Now, he's not talking about looking with his eyes, but looking with his spiritual vision, because he's got his hands over his eyes. Jesus says, look up. And then he takes his hands away and says, can you see? And the man says, I can see. So what is he asking him to do? He's asking him to say that here's this experience. We got partway there. Let's step it up. Let's step it up to the next level. Look up, look up, look up to what it is that you want. And let that be where your focus is. Let that be where your energy is. And that'll be your experience. I was at a healing symposium one time, and a man told this story about Jesus spitting on this man's eyes and that. And he said that another time he was working in a healing group, and people were coming forward for healing, and they would do laying on of hands, and they'd pray and everything. So this one man came forward, said that he was deaf in one ear. And so he was going to pray for this deaf man and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And God, the voice spoke to him, said, spit in his ear. And he says, no, thank you. I'm not going to do that. And so he got the idea. He put his thumb in his mouth and gave him a wet willy, basically, is what he did. But when he pulled his finger out, the man could hear. So after the first service, one lady came and said, spit on my foot. I said, well, once you understand this principle, you don't need to use spit. Once you know that it's the Spirit of God that can overcome anything and can show up in all kinds of ways, even in spit. Yeah. That's the thing we need to recognize. It's available to us in every moment. So we want to open ourselves up to something greater in our lives. Again, another piece from Rumi. This is titled, You Are the Macrocosm. And he starts out, he says, you may seem to be the microcosm. In fact, you are the macrocosm. The branch might seem like the fruit's origin. In fact, the branch exists because of the fruit. Would the gardener have planted the tree at all without a desire and a hope for that fruit? That's why the tree is really born from the fruit, even if it seems that the fruit is created by the tree. The idea which comes first comes last in realization, particularly the idea which is eternal. So what are those eternal ideas that we want to be working with, that as we focus on them, will create the means for their fulfillment? That's what he's saying, that the fruit creates the tree. That idea creates a way for it to express in our lives. And so our job is to step up this to a greater way in our lives, so that we no longer believe in problems. And here's what came to me. I am living as a spiritual revolutionary. What do revolutionaries do? They look at what's around them and say, something different needs to happen here. And they set out to create that. They get that idea of what they want to do, and then they make it happen in their lives. So are you willing to say this with me? I am living as a spiritual revolutionary. I am living as a spiritual revolutionary. I dare you. I dare you to do that. And again, coming back to this idea of the anointing, that anointing of spirit wants to step up the energy to something greater, wants to bring something greater to our lives. That's what the symbol of the cross represents. Some people say, well, that's what Jesus died on. But that's not the end of the story. He was resurrected. And so the cross stands for transformation. It stands for something greater working in our lives. And so when we decorate, and we had a wonderful group that came yesterday to help us decorate the cross, the flowers are here for you after the service. Come down and take one of the flowers as a symbol that you're connected to this power of transformation, that you carry it with you out into your life. It's not just something that we talk about and it's nice to think about here, but it's something that we're meant to carry out into our experience. And of course, the flowers are not going to last forever. We got carnations because they last longer than lots of other flowers. But that idea of taking it forth, that's what you want to carry with you, something greater in your life, so that you can have breakthroughs with spiritual power. There's all kinds of obstacles that seem to show up in our life, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is with us, so we can move through those obstacles. We can break through them. There's another story in the Gospels. Jesus is in the synagogue, and he's teaching. And he's basically saying that he's a spiritual revolutionary. And they're not happy about that because they had these nice, wonderful services and things were going well and everybody knew each other and was all comfortable like that. And he's saying, no, there's something more that we can live. So they decide they're going to take him out to the edge of town where there's a cliff and they're going to throw him over the cliff. And so they take him out there. And what the scripture says is that he passed through them. And as I read and reread that story, I thought, well, maybe he turned invisible. So remember the story where after the crucifixion, the disciples are hiding out with the doors locked, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up in the middle of them. So it's like, you know, he could turn invisible if he wanted to, invisible, whatever. And so I thought, well, whatever it was, he didn't believe that he needed to oppose them. And so he just went right through them. He didn't believe that they were his enemies. He knew that he was connected with a power that was greater than that. And so he just passed right through them. That's where, don't think about how hard it is. Think about the power of that Spirit in you that can do all things in life. And remember that crucifixion is never the end of the story. Whatever it is, seems to be, have crucified you in your life, that's not the end of the story. That Spirit in you is greater than that. I like, you know, Jim Croce has that song. I can't hang upon no lover's cross for you. Somebody else may be wanting to crucify you in some way. You don't need to play their game. You have the choice about that breakthrough in life. Again, it's how you see yourself. Henry Ferguson tells a story. He was living in Texas with his daughter and his wife. His wife's in the kitchen cooking. He's watching their daughter outside in the backyard. He's in the dining room looking out through the window. Their four-year-old daughter's out in the backyard. And she's watching these two blue jays that are, you know, up in the tree arguing. And she's just fascinated by this noise that they're making. And all of a sudden, the father sees this javelina, a wild boar, come walking into the yard, stalking his daughter. And so he's frozen. He thought about getting his gun, but he couldn't move. He thought about calling out to his wife, but he couldn't move. And so he's watching there. And all of a sudden, the daughter sees the javelina. And with this childlike innocence, just walks over to it, reaching out, scratches its ear. And it went from sort of growling to purring. He says it really sounded like this javelina was purring and sort of nuzzled against her knee. And then after a couple of minutes, you know, her mind went someplace else. You know, she was just thinking of other things. She turned around and came back in the house. And as she walked by her dad, she said, nice doggy. Now, it could have torn her apart. But she was living in a space of nice doggy. So when you're looking at the people in your life, you can complain about how awful they are, the terrible things they've done to you, or you can say, maybe not nice doggy, but nice person. Nice person. I see the presence and power of God in you. And we can then break through with that. So when we have fears, don't run away from it. Befriend your fear and learn what's underneath it so that that can be transformed and healed in your life. And continually call on this rising up, stepping up, breaking through with the spiritual power. Know that it's a continual inflowing, a continual process where that Spirit is working in us, in all things, to help us see something more, something greater. We've been, this Lenten season, focusing on this idea of unified with these different aspects. To undo, what is it that we need to undo from our minds and experiences in order to be unified with God? Can we nestle into that presence, just accept that love of God for us and just identify ourselves as children of God so that we can focus on those spiritual gifts so that we can integrate them into our lives so that they can be expressed and dare to do it? So that's what our process has been about. And the key is Just as Jesus said, the things that I do, you can do greater things because I go to the Father. That's the source of power, that presence of God. Call it Father, call it Mother, call it divine intelligence. It doesn't matter what name we use for it, but that we make that connection. And our job is to give ourselves to that. So the music team has this beautiful piece of music called Draw Me Near. It's about making this connection in a deeper way with that living presence of God. So I invite you to listen. And first service, when they finished, there was applause, which really, they deserve it. But I want to lead you into a little bit of a meditation. So I invite you, as you listen, just let go and feel that you're drawn nearer. And then I'm going to lead you just in a little bit of a piece of meditation. So.
There are depths of love that I
invite you to close your eyes if they're not already. Unified. We are unified in the living presence of God. In oneness, we are willing to undo what does not serve us. In oneness, we nestle deeply into the presence of love. In oneness, we identify ourselves with the gifts of the Christ. In oneness, we focus our thoughts, words, and activities to express the radiant gifts of the Christ. In oneness, we integrate our awareness and expression of God into all we are and all we do. In oneness with God, we dare to live fully and freely. We are unified in the living presence of God. And so it is. So you are more than your problems. You are more than the circumstances that you face. And I dare you to rise up with spiritual power. I dare you to step up with spiritual power. I dare you to break through with spiritual power. We were born into this life to embody the Christ presence and power, to embody the divine. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in you. I dare you to live as a child of God. Amen.